Hello. Welcome to the Singing for Your Soul radio show. Welcome. Like, really, I get really excited when I do this show. And you could see a big smile on my face, if you could see me looking goofy here. As always, I really hope that we will be exploring information in every show that will really enliven your lives, that will make your voices and your souls sing. That's why we call it Singing for Your Soul. That's always my intention. And I like to start out sharing a bit about Singing for Your Soul first off for those new listeners, because there's quite a bit to it. So first, Singing for Your Soul is everything about when I sing, my own process, my own life journey, and where I've come to with singing. So when I sing, whether it's for myself or out in nature, I sing to trees and nature, water, the earth all the time, or sharing that with audiences, it's really come to the point where I sing for my soul and I sing for anyone else's soul who vibes with it. And secondly, it's my vocal empowerment studio where we're all about learning to use our voices well for singing and for speaking. But it's about so much more than just singing well or sounding good or impressing others. What it's really about when we come to the core of it is asking ourselves what makes our soul sing in life and when we speak or when we sing. It's when it feels good to us, when we're doing it well, it feels amazing. So in life or when we're making sound, asking ourselves what makes our soul sing and moving towards that. So finding ways to live where we're healthily connected with others, where we're feeling self-expressed and creative and aware of the healing and grounding and transformative power of sound and vibration, and just really living in ways that make us feel amazing and basically feel like our souls are singing. So it's a phrase I use often with myself and in work with clients to determine what we want to be moving towards, both in singing and speaking and in our lives, really what brings us more joy. So today, we are on the 11th Singing for Your Soul radio show. And to celebrate, we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Karen Renee Robb. She's from Frame Drum Wisdom. And I'm going to bring her on in a moment. But first, what feels so perfectly aligned is that we have her on this 11th show. And she's going to speak to the power of using sound to move through challenging emotional states or even just regular emotional states, the power of sound to help us process and move through emotion. And I have just come through a very heightened and emotionally transformative time in my own life. And it has the making of sound, like my own singing and soothing myself and processing through sound has really gained extra depth and significance in light of the circumstances that I've just experienced. So I just briefly want to tell this story and mention that the number 11 comes strongly into play here. So I'm going to weave this all together. So I had a friend, Rob is his name, and he passed away suddenly. And at the very last minute, I decided to go to his funeral. And it was very clear to me that I needed to drive and not fly. And so it was a 14-hour drive, and I got in the car and I just took off and I drove from Michigan to New Hampshire and had a lot of processing time, not very much sleep time because I needed to make it to the funeral by 12:30 the next day and I didn't have much time. So I kept driving, I got there, reconnected with many old friends, really felt connected with my friend Rob, had some pretty phenomenal experiences with him on the psychic plane before I got there. So it was a very special time and a lot of looking at my life in retrospect and seeing how things unfold and making peace with them and having a lot of gratitude. So because I drove, I was also in the area on my way back. I was able to stop and see my 94-year-old voice teacher, Phyllis Curtin, at her home in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And I had lived with her family and nannied for them in their beautiful 17th century farmhouse in the countryside outside of Great Barrington. And it was a very formative time for me on many levels. So I was able to chat with her, to reconnect, and then to walk her property and the adjoining farmland that I used to spend so much time on when I lived there. And it was a pretty amazing experience. It was really challenging to see how much she had deteriorated, and to come to terms with that, to watch our mortality. And, you know, it was the first time I'd seen her in 11 years, so she had changed quite a bit. And at any rate, it was wonderful. I got home. Things were crazy busy. My partner, Marvin, proposed in the middle of that. So it was like vibration, just all of those big archetypal themes were popping up so strongly. And then I received a message exactly 11 days after I had visited with Phyllis Curtin for what I knew. I knew internally that it would be the last time I would see her. And 11 days later, I got a message that she had passed away peacefully with her family surrounding her. And that was another profound experience. It had been 11 years since I had seen her, and then 11 days later, she passed. Master numbers. So this is our show, 11, and 11 is a master number. And I don't know that much about numerology, but I did have to look this up because 11 was popping up so much. And they are really exciting numbers to numerologists, the master numbers. And there are only three of them, 11, 22, and 33. And what it is that they represent something above and beyond the mundane. 11 actually represents the merging of the strongest masculine warrior-type energy with the most intuitive and cunning goddess-like feminine energy. And it also symbolizes the potential to push the limitations of the human experience into the stratosphere of the highest spirituality, of the highest spiritual perception and experience. And so it's really a link between the mortal and the immortal, which is something that was big for me on this trip, and between the human and spirit, and between darkness and light, and ignorance and enlightenment. So it's really a powerful number. And I do feel that there's something extra special about the show today, and I feel the presence of my friend Rob and of my voice and life and this master number 11 that's really heightening the energy that we're going to bring to the show. And also I'm so grateful for my relationship with sound and with my voice. I sang so much to myself and to nature as I was driving across country. I actually have a song that I've written, and it's about mortality. It's called The Sensuous Immortals, and I just sang that to myself over and over and over again, and I also just improvised and sang all kinds of things. And it was so helpful in processing the emotion during that intense two-week period where everything got crammed in. So that's something that Karen Renee and I really have a passion for, is sharing how this sonic experience is available to all of us, and it really improves our lives immeasurably, really. So I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest, Karen Renee. I'll just say a few words about her. She uses the frame drum and singing to help people connect with their own unique voice and innate rhythm. Yes, we all have an innate rhythm. Yes, we do. And the techniques that she shares are so accessible to anyone. I really mean this, and they're very easy to use no matter where you are on the musical spectrum. Mm-hmm. So I met Karen Renee through a mutual friend who introduced us on Facebook and said that he felt like we needed to meet, and then we met in person at one of her frame drum workshops, and there was an immediate connection. So what I really love is how powerfully she is dedicated to bringing the power of voice and sound and music for well-being back into the hands of everyone. And she does it in such a lovely way. So, Karen, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Kimberly. Hi.
Oh my gosh. I just loved your introduction. So perfect, so powerful.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it?
And isn't it interesting that my last name is Rob?
Oh, you know what? I hadn't even gotten that. Oh, my gosh. Well,
so Rob,
yes,
is
that
is here.
Interesting.
Yes.
In many ways.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, it's so amazing to have you on. I can't wait to chat. And I was torn because I, I really felt like I needed to share that, but I was like, I want to get to Karen talking. So let's dive in, shall we?
Yes, let's dive in.
Yes. Okay, so what I really would love for you to share first off is just your experience, your story leading up to how you ended up founding Framedrum Wisdom and all of the work that you're doing with sound right now.
Right. So I started out as a voice performance major in college. I had some music background. I played piano, French horn, and I sang, and was studying as a voice performance major in Michigan. My hometown is Ann Arbor, Michigan, but I went to Michigan State. Anyway, I ended up with a business degree through all that, and worked for some amazing companies for about 25 years. Apple Computer right out of college. Then I worked for DigiDesign, which created Pro Tools, the industry standard for digital recording and editing. I moved to Nashville in January of 2000, worked for Gibson Guitar for about 6 years, and then Griffin Technology. So my whole career was around musicians. I did music on the side. I performed the national anthem for a lot of big sporting events, so I kept my singing going. But in the summer of 2012, and I know for a lot of people, 2012 and the years since then have been really a big shift in soul paths. And I had my shift. I was researching music therapy for Griffin Technology to see how music therapists might use technology like iPads for servicing their clients and helping people through music therapy applications and therapeutic practices. And I had some just really profound personal experience as well as researching music therapy. And ultimately, without going into too many details, I left Griffin Technology and my 25-year career to advocate for the power of sound and music for healing and well-being. I was so clear that that was my purpose, and I had no idea how it was going to unfold. So
really brave.
Right, it was.
Yeah.
It was, and, some people get that calling, that undeniable calling, and some people don't. You know, they spend a lifetime wondering what they're supposed to do. But it was such a profound experience for me that I needed to turn my life around and have it be more of service to humanity than making things, making more stuff. So I started the Music City Alliance for Sound and Music Healing. I live in Nashville, in Music City, in that area. And I knew, like, there's a part of me that knew that Nashville is supposed to be the next beacon for sound and music for healing and well-being. And so I started advocating and talking to people about it. And then it was in January of 2013 that I learned about this idea, this frame drum, and the ability to sound and sing into it. A friend of mine sent me a video, and I want to put out the name of Eliana Gilad, Voices of Eden. You're familiar with Ellie.
Yes,
Eliana.
Through you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
yep.
I saw a TED Talk that she did in Colorado, and during her TED Talk, she was talking to women. It was a women's conference about reclaiming voice. And at some point, she had the frame drum, and she was playing it in the traditional hand drumming way. And then she started singing and sounding into the drum. And the moment I saw her do it, it was like a deep, full remembering happened for me. It was like, oh, I'm supposed to do that. And so, try not to get too long into it, but basically I went to our local drum store, Forks Drum Closet, here in Nashville, that's been servicing the music industry for many, many, many years, and I found a frame drum. The first one I picked up was a Remotar frame drum, which is what I continue to recommend to people for singing and sounding into. And it resonated, and it was beautiful, and it was such an incredible experience. And then I brought that drum home. And mind you, I have never been a percussionist. Drumming for me was a sort of a little bit of a taboo thing. in music circles here in Nashville, if I was in a circle experience, a songwriting experience, and someone handed me a shaker, my husband would say, "Don't give that to her. She doesn't have any rhythm."
Aww.
And I kind of took that into my soul. And sure enough, if I'd start to make a beat, I'd get off. And then in Nashville, and you know from where you came from, if you're in a music scenario and you get off beat, you get people.
No.
you know the looks you get.
Yes.
And people will, you know, stop everything and take the shaker from you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
There's no tolerance for
right.
getting off. Yeah.
Yes. So I was like, okay, me and a drum. So I brought the drum home knowing that I could sing and sound to it and make beautiful noises. And then one day when I was at home, my husband was away, and I picked up one of his mallets from one of his drums, and I started drumming in just a very simple heartbeat sort of Native American rhythm. And I felt the vibration and sound coming off the drum, and I was enamored. And then at some point that drum came over the top of my body, which you've experienced in my workshop, and the vibration moved through my body, and I was blown away. And so I started sort of intuitively drumming over people, being a yoga student and knowing about the chakras and having friends who are Reiki energy workers, I knew the whole goal was to open up our energy fields and our energy chakras. So I started drumming over people, and the effect has been amazing. And so it's hard to describe, you know, in words and even in video, but maybe Kimberly, you can speak to that experience of sounding into the drum and doing a sound vibration massage experience.
Well, I absolutely agree. It's so difficult to put into words. It's something
yeah.
that it is in the experience itself. That's where the profound changes happen. That's where the mm-hmm. experience truly lies. So, you know, I have been doing sound healing for a while now, and it has unfolded in similar ways to the ways that it did with you. A lot by having clients come and be very stressed out and just saying, why don't you just lie down on the floor, and having instruments in my studio that I would just intuitively play over them, or I would mm-hmm. sing to them, or I'd sing into body parts. It sounds very strange, but mm-hmm. it's incredibly profound. So when I was at your frame drum workshop, I had never, it's so funny because I have worked in circles with people who do things like this, and I have never experienced anyone doing it the way that you do, and weaving the sound and making it so safe to be able to sing the way that people jumped in, because, you know, making sound is a very terrifying thing for a lot of people to mm-hmm. think that they're going to go to a workshop and have to sing. That, you know, probably cuts out 50% of the population that's just like, I'm not going, you know, because it's so
yes.
scary to people, and that's where a lot of the power lies in reclaiming our voices. But mm-hmm. when you held the drum and we started playing it, I, especially when I felt it in my head and in my pelvic region, which really gets to vibrating, it was just unbelievable. And mm-hmm. so right, it was like an ancient awareness just was awakened, and I went, oh, mm-hmm. of course, this is how we do this.
Yeah, I mean, there's been drums in every culture for as far back. My brother used to tease me, and he said, you know, as long as there's been a stump and some skin, there's been a drum. And it really was the ancient communication tool. It was the ancient healing tool, and it still is in so many cultures.
Yeah.
And our Western culture has forgotten or had it beaten out of us. I hate to say that. But
it sure has.
And, you know, in this culture that we have where so many people are looking for quick fixes, you know, the truth of the matter is once you get beyond your personal judgment of your voice or your belief about your ability or inability to drum and make rhythm, it really is a quick fix, powerful tool if you allow yourself to do it. And like mm-hmm. you said before, the beauty of the drum is, yes, Kimberly and I have beautiful voices and we may have been trained classically or in whatever way, mm-hmm. but everybody can access their voice and expand the strength of their voice and find their soul. What their soul is yearning to speak out and sound out. It's a very safe environment. It's like singing mm-hmm. in the shower or singing in the car. Mm-hmm. But the vibration that comes back to you is so powerful and can put you in such a wonderful, present, calm state so quickly.
Yes.
And yes. So I've been on this journey with a drum, like I said, since 2013, and my life has been changed dramatically. And during the course of the last 3.5 years, you know, we've gone through a lot of, you know, upheavals and challenges on an individual and on a collective basis. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that this whole sounding for my healing, for my personal well-being, has really is what saved me through some very difficult relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then helping other people connect with themselves through this has just continued to keep me persevering and going. It's just been very yeah. profound.
Oh my gosh, I so hear you. I'm the same. A sound has saved me in so many ways. And sharing it is so wonderful. And I think that you said something in the workshops that I loved and would like you to speak to this because it's so true. You were speaking to people about what does it truly mean when you're afraid to use your voice? What is the cost in your life of not being able to make sound? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, some of the things, like first and foremost, is that the human body is 70% water. And so sound is moving through us all the time. Every mm-hmm. single sound, whether it's the hum of the air conditioning unit, or it's a siren going by, or it's someone yelling in the next room, is actually moving through our body.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we are not doing something during the course of our day to bring good vibrations back into our bodies, then it's just another form, another way that our body takes on dis-ease, can be affected. And so what I realized over the course of the last 3.5 years through my, you know, connection is that, like, if you're a yoga student, you know that the throat chakra is the creative center. So I believe that everybody's voice, just like the snowflake that each one of us is, in the creation of humanity, is that our voices are uniquely tuned for our own healing and well-being. But if we're not using it to resonate in our bodies, finding ways to find the depths of our sound, to the tippy top, the highest highs of our sound, we're missing out on a powerful tool for our own well-being, as well as it is our creative center. When we mm-hmm. speak out the truth for ourselves, we are putting sound and creating, manifesting sound out into our world. So
yes,
what we are speaking and sounding out into the world is actually helping to create our reality. So often people are so protective of their thoughts and they try and think, well, I have to manage my thoughts and only have positive thoughts. Well, I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to actually fix that in the long haul, you know, because our mind does a lot of weird stuff. But it's what we're speaking out,
mm-hmm.
what we're vibrating out in the world that really is manifesting. So what are we saying? What are
yes.
we speaking?
And what awareness are we bringing to it?
Yeah.
Everything changes when we start to engage with sound in the way that you're talking about, when we start to be aware that sounds in our external environment are passing through our bodies. That changes everything. Or when we realize that when we say something, it's literally, we don't know where it ends. It just goes out there on the waves of sound, and we never know what that is creating in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you want to talk about it like that, it's like the butterfly effect. In chaos theory, where the butterfly flaps its wings and can lead to a hurricane or changes in hurricane weather patterns because of the still small movement of a butterfly. So with our voices, it's much the same. We don't know where that ends. And your whole relationship to life changes when that awareness clicks. And it's just a moment. It just takes a moment of that aha moment of, oh my gosh, this is really a vibrational experience that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And also the seven chakras, I wanted to, you know, you're talking about the creativity and the fifth chakra being within yoga and other circles, the center of creativity. And singing and speaking from an embodied place actually activates and helps move all of the seven chakras. And you know this as a singer. I mean, if you sing really deep, low tones, you can feel it vibrating in your pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go up into head voice and sing high notes, it's coming out the top of our heads. And all things in between are being activated. So it's really, that's powerful. And then you talk about the psychological ramifications of stifling ourselves or being afraid to be heard. That's a pretty big topic as well.
Yeah. So, you know, so many people in our culture have learned to just keep their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been, so many certain generations were told to be seen and not heard. Certain people have been told at some point in our life not to sing because they can't sing in tune with our Western man-made music system.
Right.
And so,
which is so arbitrary, by the way.
Yeah. And but it's another topic we can step into. But, you know, the first thing we're asked to do or that they want us to do when we're born is to what?
Cry,
make sound,
mm-hmm.
tell the world you're here, you know, and by shutting your voice down, your truth, you're actually denying yourself your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's like,
really?
You know, and how many people are just being silent and watching what's happening around them or trying to not make waves, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, we
mm-hmm.
need to make waves, but let's make them good waves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's make them life-affirming waves.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. So what do you think about turning it over this idea of emotion?
I would love to turn over this idea. I would love to hear a little bit more before we jump in there about what pendulum wisdom really means to you.
Oh, so my vision is that there's a drum in every home and that people know how to use it. And that's not just in the traditional sense. These frame drums, something that happened early on when I brought my first frame drum home is that our frame drum was a woman named Lane Redmond. And I, being the research person that I am, immediately Googled Lane Redmond and found this book that popped up, The Spiritual History of Rhythm, when the drummers were women, The Spiritual History of Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought that book, and it came home to me, and I read it so quickly and underlined practically every passage in it and realized that these drums, the frame drum, were the ancient drums that the priestesses, the goddesses, the beautiful women of ancient times used for ceremony and healing and all of that. And so what I'm keenly aware of is that these drums need to get back into the hands of women and girls. There was a time when the patriarchal religions came into existence that they actually took the drums away from women, much like the witch hunts, because we were powerful with them. And as you expressed before, the number 11, this this warrior aspect and this goddess, feminine, mm-hmm. divine compassion and love, and it needs to come back. And I believe that these drums put back into the hands of women is going to change a lot in our culture. And not for war, but for love, for empathy, for healing, for well-being. These drums, the techniques that I use, the simple heartbeat rhythm, the swoosh sounds that we make with them, and the vocalizations actually recreate the womb state, which is so amazing. Because I can drum over someone without telling them anything, and their mind, their body, their emotions, their spirit is just overcome in such a beautiful way. And so for me, frame drum wisdom, what came to me rather quickly once I started engaging with the drum, with the aspect of sounding into it and drumming over people, I realized that there was so much more to the drum than what people in our Western culture really recognize or understand or have forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so the more you connect with the drum, the more it has to teach you.
So many things I love about everything that you just said. Oh my gosh. I just love it.
So from birth to death, yes, I just want to say from birth to death, there is applications for this idea of recreating the womb state, whether it's bringing the child into the world, bring people out of this world into the next realm.
You know, we're up in Traverse City right now, and yesterday went up to Mackinac Island and went in to this exhibit, and I wish I had information in front of me, I'd share it. It's an exhibit on Mackinac Island with paintings of 19 Native Americans who traveled, Native American chiefs who traveled to Washington, D.C. and had their portraits painted in the early 1800s, and there was no photography, so it was all paintings. And I'm saying this because we got into a conversation with the woman who is Native American, the curator of the exhibit, and she has a Native American chief who comes in and does teaches people how to make drums, and they make their own drums, and the process of making the drum is a birthing process. And she said at one point during the creation of the drum, you actually, there are all these things that happen, but the thing that really struck me is she said they had me, we ate strawberries as we were birthing our drums, and then we laid down the eaten piece of strawberry, the little top, on the drum. And where you lay that on the drum is the umbilical cord that connects that drum to you.
Yes.
Isn't that perfect? So
yes,
from birth to death, it literally is. Those drums, there is so much to them.
Yes.
So much that we're unaware of in current culture.
Yes.
So go ahead. Anything more that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so I, you know, and what I notice when I do my workshops in general, it's women of a certain age who are in transition. Either they're mothers whose children are empty nesters, they're empty nesters, they're leaving the fold, or they're women like me who didn't have children but left the corporate structure and got tired of that patriarchal system of corporations and are freeing themselves up to be who they really are. And the drum is such an amazing tool to help people reconnect with themselves. And so I know that as more and more people reconnect with the drum in what I call the feminine way, because we certainly have a lot of drums in our music culture, but it tends to be a lot more loud and energetic and moving, versus the drumming that I do is just a lot more soothing and wombs creating. So it's just bringing that feminine aspect to the drum, back to the drum,
that we need, and reconnecting with the heartbeat of Mother Earth, which is an interesting powwow. Drums are called like mother drums and stuff. There's just so much if you're willing to kind of look a little deeper at the importance of drumming and the connection that it creates for us. And the other thing for me that I will say is, for many, many years, I was very much a metaphysical person. I love the skies. I love the heavens. I love the angelic realm. And what's happened to me over the course of the last, I would say, 5 years, is I finally realized that in order for me to really do my work here on this earth, I had to be grounded in the earth. I had to root myself in the earth. And that's been a very scary process for me. I don't know about for you, but more and more I'm recognizing that nature, that the trees, that the animals have so much to teach us, if we're willing to be present and listen to that. And I think that the drum helps root me, like as we talked about earlier, the low, deep, vibrating, resonating tones and the highest highs. It's like the more rooted we are on this earth plane, the more energy we can take in from the heavens and the more powerful we are at manifesting the good stuff that needs to happen here on earth.
Beautifully said. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, with capital letters. And it is, you know,
and
we
are
embodied. And
Kimberly and I
are
going to sound together right
now. Yes. Oh, I wish. It's hard when we do the show. I'm going to have to come up with better sound, because I would love to be able to do that and have it sound good and not, like, get...
distorted.
Technologically distorted, yeah.
Right.
Yes. And wasn't it the Dalai Lama that said, it was the Dalai Lama that said, the world will be saved, did he say, by the Western woman?
Yes.
The world will be transformed, something along those lines, by the Western woman. And I think exactly what you're talking about is what he was referring to, the heart that is being brought back.
Yes.
The balance. And,
we're rising
I love your vision.
Up. We are rising
Yes, we
up.
Are. We are. We are.
And I'll tell
up.
You
and
that men do come to my workshops. Men do come to my sound circles. It's just fewer and far between, and they tend to be much more balanced in their feminine and masculine energy.
They
tend
do.
To be service
yeah.
workers. Mm-hmm. They tend to be mm-hmm. massage therapists, people who understand the value of reconnecting human beings with their spirit.
There's an integration. And so with men, it tends to be more of that integrating, more of the feminine aspect. And what's really cool about the drum is I have felt it connect me more with my warrior spirit.
Mm-hmm.
At times, it's very soothing and very, very feminine. But at other times, when I use the drum and when I sing, especially when I go out in nature, it gets really loud. And there is this spiritual warrior aspect to it that is so amazing. It's amazing. So I think it's an integration and rebalancing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So you've shared your vision. Let's go ahead and do talk about sound and emotion.
Yeah. So I speak for women because I'm a woman in this lifetime. And what I know is that we're emotional beings. All human beings are emotional beings. Women, I think, even more so. In terms of needing to express emotion, we go through the cycles of the moon, and we are empathic and feeling and relational. And in our culture, though, we've been taught to suppress our emotions, to put a smile on our face, to be pretty, to not be ugly, to not be a B-I-T-C-H, you know, and so as we've been suppressed over years and years and years, we end up having gut issues because our emotions get trapped in our root and sacral centers, our bottom chakras. And we have digestive issues and we have feminine, you know, cancers and this and that because we're not being allowed to express emotionally. And what I've found is that the more I can get not only myself, but other women to connect with that lower register and resonate what's happening down there, that's when the primal screaming can happen. That's when the release of suddenly of emotion that's been trapped for many, many, many years comes through. And we need to understand that it's okay to feel and that actually allowing ourselves to feel in the moment as opposed to stuffing it down and then having it be this big explosion that seems like we'll never be able to contain it, I think in the long term can really help us be more healthy and have us have a sense of well-being. So encouraging people to drum over their sacral center or to be drummed over and allow the sound that needs to come through to come through is so powerful. Because beyond all those tears and that screaming and that pain is actually who we really are, the essence of who we really are.
And we've got to release all of that to get there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
it's scary, though. It's scary.
Oh, yeah. It's. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to ask, how do you work with people? Do you help them to experience that in group settings or one-on-one, or do you show them how to do it on their own? Because it can be very scary to, especially in front of other people, reach those places of that profound emotion.
Yeah, it happens in all of those formats. I like to believe, and I think a lot of the people who know me, that I really create a safe container. What happens when people are experiencing that drumming and sounding for the first time is that it's almost like they can't control it, or they notice how much that anger or that stuff wants to come through. And I can pretty intuitively sense if it's in that group setting, if it's going to be good for them to allow people to support them in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when other people witness a person allowing that sound to come through and seeing that nobody's died as a result of it, nobody's run away, no one's going to shun them, it actually gives more people permission to explore that for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends on the moment, depends on the situation. Because for me, my first huge experience of letting that primal, that what felt like the pain of the whole world come through my body, happened at a yoga retreat. When someone played a didgeridoo in a very sacred space and then sounded that didgeridoo over my head. So it was, and I started convulsing and screaming at the top of my lungs for a long time. It felt like forever. But the thing is once you've had that experience, and that talks back to what you said about when people have the experience, they understand. Once I had that experience and the profound release and the pressure it took off of me, I wanted it for everybody else.
Mm, yeah. Mm. So tell us more. I would just love to listen to you talk. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show, and
okay.
we can pretty much talk about anything that you'd like to in this realm. And
yeah.
Then we'll let people know where they can find more about you and do some announcements towards the end.
Okay. So let me just share in my 3.5 years of walking this path, and I know it's the rest of my life, this is my path,
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape, or form, and teaching these techniques and sharing them with people in large capacity or an individual basis. I've had the privilege to share this with therapists, with a nursing school and yoga studios and assisted living facilities. I currently do a sound circle, what I call a frame drum sound circle, and for Alzheimer's patients. I work with hospice and palliative care. I've done it with preschool children, adolescents, teenagers, health and wellness centers, religious institutions, special needs programs, creative groups, women's gatherings. I mean, it goes on and on. Like I said before, it's like from birth to death, there's applications for bringing these soothing sounds and the warrior sounds back into the hands of all people in service to ourselves and in service to others. And so for me, my biggest challenge is that when I do my teachings, my workshops, is that so many people will come back to me and say, have you thought of doing it here and here and here and here? I'm like, yeah, you know, I have. And the challenge is I'm only one person. And what's exciting to me, Kimberly, is that there's so many more of us waking up. I know in the 80s there was a huge push for sound for healing, and there's still people working in that realm who started in the 80s. But I really sense that now more and more people are understanding the power of sound and that we are vibrating beings. So my desire is to get more, and I'm going to say women and men, but women specifically, picking up these drums, learning these techniques, and using them for themselves, using it for their families, and using it in service to other human beings. The other really wonderful, profound place where I do this is for a women's addiction recovery residential program here in Tennessee called Voyage. And I have to tell you, that's one of the few places that I go to where it's not self-selecting, where I show up with my drums, and many of these women have either just come off of something, whether it's alcohol or drugs, that have issues of PTSD. So prior to their addiction, they have severe trauma. And I come in with these drums, and I'm in the Bible Belt. So there's all sorts of, like, there's these drums, and they're like, I have a headache because I'm coming off of it, right? And there's this, like, they come in with their legs crossed and their arms folded across their chest going like, what the heck are we going to do? And I'll tell you, in 3 hours' time, women are laughing and smiling, are feeling their energy shift, are feeling positive, are feeling a calm sense in their heads. Their monkey mind has been shut down, but their body is vibrating in a way that some of them say, I feel like I'm high. And I can say, you know what? It's a natural high. It's you vibrating. It's you feeling you at a state that maybe society or the culture hasn't allowed you or shown you how to feel. And the beautiful thing, yes, these vibrations, they do subside. You may need to pick up your drum at another time. You may need to have a practice every day of picking up your drum and sounding or drumming. But it's not the same kind of addiction. Mm. It's a healthy connection.
Mm. It's enlivening.
Yes.
And affirming and
yes.
So many positive things. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, amazing. Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah. So when I say I want there to be a drum in every home and people who know
you
how
mean
to use it. Right? I really mean it because
yeah.
Think about growing up in an alcoholic or, you know, abusive family. But, you know, if you came home from work and, yes, you had a stressful day and you have all those thoughts of the things that you have to deal with, but you had your child or your partner say, let me just drum over you for 4 or 5 minutes. Let me just sound over you. Just relax in this chair. And in the course of that 4 or 5 minutes, all of the stressors of the day just got melted away. And then you could be present for your family. Yeah. How different would our culture
so
be?
So different. So different. And as, you know, my nervous system is very, well, I grew up in an abusive home, and it is, using sound is the best way to, when I get into fight or flight, which is pretty much all the time, my nervous system defaults to fight or flight. And most of us, I think at this point, do. And the sounding brings me back. It switches me out of that fight or flight and puts my parasympathetic nervous system back on board in a way that nothing else can do.
Yes.
It just does. So what you're saying is, oh my gosh, it's just, it's huge. It's huge. Can you share a bit with people about how they could incorporate this into their home practice, even if they say they're living far away and they can't make it to a workshop,
right,
or they haven't been to a workshop yet? What can people do?
Well, so the drums that I found that easily resonate with the voice, these Remotar frame drums are synthetic head drums. And so they're always, one, the beautiful thing is they're always on. When you get into the animal skin drums, temperature change can cause them to go flat. If you're using it as a well-being and healing tool, having one that's always on, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll say about if you're going to get one of these drums is that each one, they're mass-produced drums. They're wonderful drums. And each drum has a different sort of frequency. And as you know, Kimberly, everybody's sort of voice is sort of a different, resonates a different frequency.
Yes.
So, and that's why I say it's like their voice is unique for their own body and makeup. So sounding into a drum, if you're going to buy it, I think it's really important to try that. Some people may already have a bunch of drums in their house, and just giving yourself permission to go up and sound into it is good. And the idea is like, ooh, I use a lot of vowel sounds, ooh being one, that where the breath is sort of going across it. And actually, you know, I do have YouTube videos, Frame Drum Wisdom is on YouTube, where you can see me singing and sounding into a drum as a, you know, way to see the different angles that you can do. But it's really finding what I call the sweet spot. And that sweet spot, when you hit it with the right tone with your voice, you'll feel the resonance. You'll hear the sound go louder. It'll be amplified, and you'll hear sort of harmonics. And then you'll also feel that vibration coming back at your face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the effect that really helps to get you more present, more in a meditative state. And just enjoying that sound. And then, interestingly enough, once I figured out that you can do that, like you can make things resonate like that, then I started trying resonating other things, like my Starbucks coffee cup with that plastic lid. If you,
I love it.
Like, okay, what else can I resonate?
I've
seen people online resonating their banjo, like sounding into their banjo, and that works because it has a similar head to a frame drum, like that. So just playing. It's about
or you're into your body.
You
can sing into your body.
Yes.
You know, if you have a knee problem, sing to your knee. Yeah.
So and then once you have a drum, you can play with the different ways. Yes, sounding into your body,
and you can sing.
Humming.
Mm-hmm. You can use the drum over other people, do it over their bodies, or sing into their bodies. You know,
I
do that all the time with people, and they'll ask me, "Will you sing? I feel like I'm coming down with a cold. Can you sing into my neck?"
Oh.
And then I will. And
yes,
I have people come back and say, you know, I feel like I didn't come down with a cold after you sang to me.
Yeah.
And this is not a power that just Karen or I have because we have trained voices.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you can do, and it doesn't matter if your voice is a little weak or shaky or wobbly or crackly. If you just try, just play with it.
Yeah.
And I love the look on people's faces when they really just let go and start playing with it and then go, oh, that was fun. So
yes. Just all of that.
Playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the drumming, like you said, you don't have to worry about keeping a rhythm. You can get a mallet and you can just beat on the drum and just, it doesn't have to be, you know, a heartbeat rhythm is really good
and it tends to be the most natural thing that people come to. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Just simple. If you look online and see what the way frame gems are traditionally played, and I'll tell you, I freaked out because it's like it's so beautiful and trance-inducing and amazing what people can do. But I've really allowed myself to slowly move into that and not put pressure on myself to learn how to do it right, but really allow my own timing, my own rhythm to come forth. And the more you listen to your internal self and strengthen that, the more confident you become in it and the more you can hold it in the presence of others.
Yes.
And that
is them like, permission.
Yes. And that plays back into speaking your truth.
Yes.
The more you're connected internally to who you are and your essence and your soul, the more you can continue to bring that presence instead of the masks that we've put on to the world and to your interactions with other people.
And do it in an embodied way that doesn't make others wrong. It allows others their experience, but still expresses your truth. And that is truly a deep soul-searching process.
Yes.
So, amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to have to wrap it up because it's almost time and the show is going to cut us off. But can you share? So we can find you at framedrumwisdom.com.
Yes.
Yes. And you're on Instagram and Twitter.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as Frame Drum Wisdom. I have workshops in the Nashville area pretty much every month, sound circles, and I'm coming to Michigan in October. I'll be one of the places I'll be, but I'm sure you and I are going to co-create something October 1st, right? October 1st, I'll be there that weekend for sure and maybe a little bit longer. And I have a workshop planned on the 1st from 10 to 1 at Yoga for Healing in Troy, Michigan. But I'm sure there will be other opportunities.
Okay.
So,
get on her mailing list. You have a mailing list. You send out a monthly newsletter.
I do.
Okay, wonderful. Karen, thank you so much for everything.
Yeah.
Our 11th show.
Yay!
Yes. So I am sure that I would love to have you back on at some point. And thank you so much for all the wisdom that you shared. And I hope that you all who are listening will go and try it. I have students who I've introduced to your methods, and they've run out and bought frame drums and just gone crazy. So thank you for all that you're doing for everyone across the globe. And you can cue, I'm going to tell Courtney, you can cue the exit music now because I think we're gonna say goodbye and have a beautiful day, everyone. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you.
Bye.